we'll go back to the second half of this broadcast. This is tape number, broadcast number 635, February the 6th, 1984. I do call them tapes because, as you know, these are, this is live on the air. I do it right from the station here, and then it is tape recorded at the same time, and then they go out by subscription. And I might remind you, those of you who want bibliographies of this material, I get envelopes from people that are dated, and they write inside the date, and I send them the sheets, self-addressed, stamped envelope, and say which broadcast, or every 4 weeks, say the month of February, the month of January, and I'll send you the references. It isn't a printed script. It's the references of the books I use, such as The Great Heroin Coup, or the article I wrote, or The Aftermath. You can look up the dates, or the article about the Clarks Fields, and look it up for yourself. It's a source of references if you want them. That's helpful. Incidentally, a woman who lives in Pasadena subscribed. She, elderly woman who took the tapes a while back, and she asked me if I knew anybody who wanted those tapes. And I said, yes, I don't have an extra copy to loan out. And she sent me back about 20 or 30 broadcasts. I didn't bring in the titles, but they're from 1977, 78, and some of them are, they're very pertinent. I was looking to see which, I think they all are anyway. But there's some really great stuff. Now, if anybody wants to borrow those cassettes or borrow 10, so it's not so bulky, and then I'll return them. You can tape them off, listen to them, dub them off, and return them, and then I'll send 10 more. All you have to do is pay for the postage, and I'll send them to you, and I can start loaning out some of those tapes. If you want some of those back tapes and can't afford to buy them, and you want to listen to them, I can start loaning these out to you, and you can use her tapes. And that would be very nice, because there's a lot of back broadcasts that, people ask me about, and they just can't afford the current and the back, or they take it live off the air and want some of the back broadcasts. So if you, whoever writes or calls first, I'll send them out, and then just return them, listen and return them, and then I'll keep a list, and we'll keep them rotating. Now, back to Mr. Oliver. I was talking to Bruce Oliver, okay, in the office of the Rebel. His brother, Robert Oliver, was the person in the Democratic headquarters. Rather, Spencer Oliver was the brother. His father is Robert. Our Spencer Oliver Jr. was the one whose telephone was tapped when Hunt and Liddy and James McCord were in the Democratic offices the night of the Watergate arrest. Now, I told him that I had written this article on Martha Mitchell, the Watergate, and I thought that they were setting the taps up on the phone and in the files, so that after Hunt and Liddy and Frank Sturgis and Bernard Barker and McCord planned the riots down in Miami, just as there were riots in Chicago in 1968, then they could say, well, we had word that they were going to, so we were tapping the Democrats because there were radicals there, and we heard Castro was giving money to the Democrats. And they could blame the Democrats for any violence or murders or the murder of Nixon, and blame it because they picked it up in the Democratic offices. That's what the taps were about. He said that's pretty novel. He hadn't thought about it, but that's what I was writing about at the time. Well, this Bruce Oliver's brother was the one whose telephone was tapped. But the interesting thing is that R. Spencer Oliver, his father, is a well-known public relations man in Washington, D.C., who brought the Howard Hughes account to Mullen Associates. Mullen Associates was a dummy front for the CIA. Liddy set up, G. Gordon Liddy set up about 90 organizations for Richard Nixon. The Howard Hughes organization, if you read my article in The Rebel, is about the Nazification of America and the use of Karl Boyer and Hitler's top agents with setting up an umbrella. The Howard Hughes in 1972 didn't exist in any shape or form. And his father brought in Hunt and Liddy and Sturgis and Barker and all those people, according to William Colby, the CIA director, wrote to Senator Howard Baker. They were representing the CIA in the Mullen office. So I have written about Mr. Schwen, Fritz Schwen, Frederick Schwen, and Bernard Barker. They linked to the Bay of Pigs. They linked to the coup in the United States. Frank Sturgis, Frank Fiorina with Lee Harvey Oswald, with the World Anti-Communist League, with Double Check down in Miami, down at the offices on Canal Street with Guy Bannister and Lee Harvey Oswald. This is, again, not only were the Nazi connections that I was writing about in The Rebel at JFK working at the Watergate with Richard Nixon, up Watergate, because my article stopped with the JFK assassination, but the fellow whose father brought those people into the Mullen offices with all the hanky-panky and dummy fronts that they were going to do is in Los Angeles for some capacity at the Rebel office. Now, I wrote down a formula. I told Oliver what it is, Bruce Oliver. I don't know him from Adam, but I don't shirk from being honest because everything I say is on the air, and I said to him, he's either there in good faith or he's there as a spy. It can't be both ways. You can be a good spy, but it can't be a good faith. So I say, okay, I'll give you a formula to find out what happened to Larry Flynt, because they were all upset about what happened in court that day, and I'll tell you about what happened down in Los Angeles. I said, I'm going to give you a formula. Get a pencil. I told him, this is before I knew who his daddy and his brother were, okay? But it didn't matter. I repeated it afterwards and sent the material for William Colby down to Rebel to show that I had the Colby report on this and that I'm not hiding anything. They can have it. They can print it. It's a very valuable document. I give it to Larry Flynt. To get in the Rebel, it's theirs to go for, okay? This is the formula to find out what happened to Larry Flynt. And it's very important. You may say, well, how does he compare to some big decisions now, like Edwin Meese in the Justice Department or the appointments or the international affairs of what's going on? He is an example. He is a microcosm of all of us. And what happens to him happens to all of us eventually. And we all stick together through this thing, through thick or thin. Now, this is the way Larry Flynt needs to get help. And he gets these broadcasts, so he'll have this tape by 2 days from now. How to chart the problems of Larry Flynt. One, you list the months of the year from September the 1st, 1983, because everything was going well until then. His financially secure, the family was high, he was going to produce a movie, his wife, he was going to run for president, he was getting out a new publication, everything was great. Money was flowing, the wine was flowing, it was great, okay? You take in columns September, October, November, December, January, February, and you make those five columns. Then you list under each column your cash assets that month, and in that column, whether it's October or November the 1st, you write on a chart going down when your cash began to diminish. Then in each column, you write the person who received the largest hunk of money in a given time period, who was being paid. There's a picture of him handing $100,000 to Dick Gregory. That's an example that he has in the magazine, okay? Now, you list the persons, political, controversial, month by month, and I have a list of 12 of them, 12 people that I know of, and goodness knows who I don't know of, that entered into his home, lived at his home or in his office, and I gave examples, G. Gordon Liddy, Mitchell Werbel, Gordon Novell, Timothy Leary, and about seven others. You list them names, and then under the column, you put what month they entered into his home or his life, if he hadn't seen him in 5 years. When did they resurface now? Was it in September 15th? Was it September 30th? Then you list what each of these people did for Larry Flynt. Did they just have dinner? Did he just invite them for dinner? What did they do for him? What information did they give him? How were they of value to him? He's publishing these magazines. He's coming out of the Rebel. What did these people give to him that is unusual or rare that he can use, and the circumstances by which they came? Then you list the date that they left or faded away or even died, like Mitchell Werbel. Then on this chart, you list the day and the reason for the meeting with Greg Boutzer. He told me one day, early in this scene, he was having lunch with the attorney Greg Boutzer. I said, literally, just to paraphrase it, don't do it. Just don't do it. And he did. So on this chart, you put the day you had lunch with Greg Boutzer. Then underneath that, how much money each one of these people he gave something to, like he put Werbel on the payroll and Novell on the payroll. Timothy Leary wrote some articles. There's an article by him in the New Hustler. What he paid each one of these people, how much he paid them. And then the last thing is to get a chemical analysis of the blue-green manna, which Bruce Oliver said he was going to do. It cost about $1,500. He said he didn't have the money. And then I heard other stories that the money is available. I'm sure $1,500 is available. And he suggested there was trouble with it, that it's dangerous to your liver and your kidneys and your brain. Get a keen analysis of what it's going, it has. And then you compare all of the symptoms that Larry Flynn has to a list that I have from the Central Intelligence Agency that I typed up once, that through their various documents that they printed, they had a list of things that they wanted to perfect and make possible. It was a $25 million study by the CIA, put together by Alan Dulles, who brought the Nazis over here, and Richard Helms of the CIA. And you make a list of the symptoms that Larry has, and you can look at your society and look at some of the others. One of the 25 million project was to find substances to promote illogical thinking and impulsiveness to the point where the recipient would be discredited in public. That was one of their projects. The other was show ways to bend the mind where people become self-doubting, bewildered, and substitute chemicals for them in place of codeine or painkillers. And Larry gets painkillers for the situation when he was shot in 1978. They spent $25 million part of the project to cause schizophrenia, that would be diagnosed schizophrenia, through chemicals so that it would not be diagnosed by a physician in advance. Now keep in mind that he is sent for a psychiatric analysis to a federal penitentiary mental place when he's publishing articles about the President of the United States, about Larry McDonald, about Western goals, about the security for the Olympics, about Edwin Meese, and he is breaking the back of Paul Axalt and the crime syndicate to the President of the United States. He's in their custody, and they spent $25 million. Now, many of you might have seen the article in the paper this week about Marilyn Monroe. They're bickering over a letter that she wrote. Marilyn Monroe was put in a mental hospital by the psychiatrist in 1961, and she begged the Strasburgs to get out of the Payne Whitney Psychiatric Clinic. She wrote, "Please help me, Lee. This is the last place I should be." And the Strasburgs, who want the letter back because it's now worth $18,000, didn't give a penny to answer Marilyn Monroe's plea. And then Marilyn Monroe is dead a year later after being at the psychiatrist that same afternoon. And it's very important to know the role. Again, it was David Emery up north who obtained for me and copied a book that I'm going to be doing a lot more on the program about. It's about the psychiatric profession called The Men Behind Adolf Hitler. And it's about the psychiatrists who perfected the techniques that later became part of the United States Mental Institute, mental hospitals, and The Men Behind Hitler is P.O. Box. Well, I'll give you the address and you can write to me, P.O. Box 5792, San Francisco. It's 94109 is the area, the zip code, 469 and California tax. This is on the psychiatric profession, the kind of people that put Larry Flynt in these hospitals and have these medications for them, and the kind of people who put Martha Mitchell into the hospitals also, and the Marilyn Monroes, and use that psychiatric profession for their purposes when they want to capture somebody and literally just wipe them out and make them discredited. Now, the thing about Larry Flynt, he went to court this last week, a long article in the Los Angeles Times, Flynt sentenced to 15 months in prison. He did not have a fair chance because the man was not well. The judge had him there for 5 hours, rambling, raving. They gagged him. They took him out. He cried. He cried about his security guards raping his 14-year-old daughter and mentioned Novell as one of the people who did it. He didn't belong in the court. He was shouting obscenities. He was crying. Give me more. The judge let him cry, they should have sent him back somewhere for observation until his head was clear. He did not deserve that sentencing. It all started when Mitchell Werbel took him to court wearing an American flag, and Werbel carrying what was supposed to be a weapon, and of course that guy conveniently died, and Larry still likes him, but he'll catch on. Larry liked Novell, it was Mitchell Werbel who was in court with him. He liked Novell, but he's on to Novell. What a painful way to learn. Now, in the meanwhile, Jack Anderson had an article this week, and I'll run down for you the psychiatric jobs that the CIA spent $25 million on, but I want to tell you that Jack Anderson has a story this week about kid porn, that the government is going to spend $800,000 and show them Hustler magazine. Dig this, Hustler magazine and Penthouse and Playboy, and see if this you can recognize juvenile behavior by reading these magazines that they consider obscene. Handing these to children and letting them look at that to see if violence in the future, not television violence, not commercials, not 18,000 murders before they ever hardly go to school, little children day and night, and after they come home from school seeing the murders. The government is going to spend $800,000 to find out, and Hustler is mentioned, is causing the violence in this country. They haven't come up with anything better outside of the ITT Twinkies that Dan Whitey. So they're gunning after Hustler, and I heard a discussion on homosexuals on CNN, and a question, they mentioned Hustler and Larry Flynt again as the problem behind the homosexuals, and the homosexuals bring AIDS and we'll all die of AIDS. So there is a media propaganda. Now, the Washington Post has an article, January 25th, People's Drug Store in Virginia is removed the February issue of Hustler. The People's Drug Store in North Virginia sells 20,000 Hustlers every month, but they took it out of there because some people, not named, didn't want it there. Now, the February Hustler was not different than any other Hustler that came out in the past 2 years, except for one thing. It had to do with Western Goals in Virginia. It'd be interesting to know how close this is to Western Goals, linking them to Nazi Germany, to the Galen operation, to the BND, the Vienna offices, linking them to Mr. John Reese and Milliken and J. Peter Grace. What they did is indicative of the way they would like to squeeze off Larry Flynt's publication. But that was because it was political. That had nothing to do with the flag. That had nothing to do with... When that February Hustler came out, that was about Larry McDonald's office in Alexandria, Virginia, that mentioned Fritz Kramer and Sven Kramer and the top people of the National Security Council that worked with Admiral Moore, formerly the Joint Chief of Staff, and Edward Teller and Milliken of Grace Company. What he published in that article on Larry McDonald was what was kept off the stand, and the proof that they're after him for political reasons is, one of the proofs is that they will not sell that in Virginia. And if they start a movement like that and don't allow these political articles to happen anywhere and can move in these people into their homes to break their backs and take over their lives, it certainly deserves more attention what is happening to Larry Flynt. I sensed this all along, what was coming down, and of course, it's coming fast. Now, apropos of that, I think many of you do not remember 1971, when a lot of the revelation of the CIA mind control experimentations came down in government hearings. Senator Church, and of course now he's dying of cancer, the fellow that began the investigations. But I took out of my government documents, and I got some from the Pentagon and from the CIA and from the books that were published, I started listing their stated purposes of the programs. There was the Operation Artichoke, the MK Ultra, what the stated purposes were for the $25 million of our tax money that was spent. So reading just some of their own purposes, nothing I made up. These are from their documents. And it's a long time, 1977 is a long way away, or it seems to be from here. So let me review for you some of the purposes that they spent and see if you think Larry Flynt got any of that kind of medication, and also some of the other people we know. The stated purposes of their program, according to Richard Helms and Alan Dulles, was to manipulate people's minds. We'll go down the list. It was to show ways of committing murder and getting away with it. How to murder and how to use drugs to erase people's memories, how to get away with it. Another purpose was to bend their minds away from what they would be thinking to various opinions, and so they called it mind bending. They developed a wide variety of bacteria to destroy petroleum products and in fertilizer of foods. Now, keep in mind what's spraying today in 1984, the question. They wanted to make sociological studies of segments of populations. I wanted analysis of voting trends in Switzerland through drugs, LSD, and Santos lab to affect how you vote. They wanted to be able to predict human behavior given a given situation through chemicals administered. These were tested in over 86 universities, hospitals, prisons, and also the health, education, welfare, even giving syphilis to people and not telling them to see how they react under the circumstances. They used brothels to discredit people and blackmail them and put drugs and medication to people in the brothels. They wanted to find a perfect way to cause brain concussions that would look like accidents. They wanted to find ways for agents to drink a lot and yet stay sober during their various missions if they were alcoholics. They wanted to find substances, this is what they found and worked on, to promote illogical thinking, I read this before, and impulsiveness to the point where the recipient would be discredited in public. That's what Howard Hughes was administered from 1957 to 66. And by the time he left the Pink Palace, that Beverly Hills Hotel, nobody cared what happened to him and didn't ask after he went to Boston for the brain surgery. Think of Congressman Mills and Senator Muskie during campaigning, or Martha Mitchell, who was given these drugs and her daughter was brought in to see her and then never saw her again, or Dita Beard. Okay, they wanted you to be discredited in public. This is what has happened to Larry. Ever since those people moved in, everywhere he goes, he got to look sillier. They wanted to find a substance that would make it impossible for a man to perform any physical activity whatsoever. They wanted to find a substance to create euphoria with no subsequent letdown, a permanent high. That is known as the Tavistock smile by John Rawlings Rees of Nazi Germany and Great Britain. Jimmy Carter has that Tavistock smile, and Ronald Reagan has it under any circumstances. He gets on the helicopter, he leaves, it doesn't matter what happens in Grenada and Lebanon. When his best friend Justin Dart died last week, he was down there in New Orleans with Amway. He has that Tavistock smile, that euphoria. Nothing matters, whether they see their children, don't see the children, go to his hometown on his birthday. He has that constant euphoria, totally inappropriate for a man. The budget is going belly under. The interest is more than the income coming in, and all you get is that euphoria. They want to find ways to incapacitate entire buildings full of people through air conditioning plants. They wanted to manufacture, and they did all these things. This was one of a 25 million, there was even more. Manufacture food that looks and tastes normal, but when it's eaten, creates anxiety and fear. I remember when Larry Flynt called, "What's new? What's new? There's going to be a neutron bomb in Los Angeles," I told you. Reagan's going to be killed in South Korea. Totally frightened. The world's coming to an end this weekend. I think I've put on the air or told friends, I said, well, for goodness sakes, if you really think that I'm going down to Big Sur for the day, it was on a Sunday, it's a beautiful day, why am I riding for you? If you really believe it, I may as well take the day off. And if you don't believe it, you're being poisoned. And I guess I'm probably the only person around Larry Flynt that ever talked like that, because I have all these documents and I know what they can do to you. They want to find ways to achieve controlled production of earaches, of twitches, of headaches. What do you take? Aspirin, Tylenol? You see the evening programs? What do you want to take? Find ways to control production of these particular symptoms. Find ways to cause jerks or staggering, people to become bewildering. I mentioned that with self-doubting, where you subvert your own principles, where you make a Jew become a Nazi or a black to kill another black, and have you go against your own system and train you like Bernard Weissman at the time of the Kennedy assassination, working with the anti-Semites, or David Berkowitz, Getting people against their own systems, or Mark David Chapman, who likes the Beatles, turning him into a Beatle hater to kill John Lennon. They want to produce long amnesia so that their agents would never remember or implicate their superiors. When they leave the agency or the deathbed, they remember nothing. This was one of the chemicals of the 25 Million Project. Find ways to kill with chemicals. Find ways, as I say, murder without a trace. Study the effect of Adolf Hitler's psychiatrist. This was one of the things they wanted to do, Dr. Edmund Forster's, to study at the Berlin University the psychiatrist that worked with Adolf Hitler. Ernest Weiss wrote a book, The Eyewitness, a Soldier. It's about Hitler under hypnosis and the suggestions of Adolf Hitler, and they wanted to study Adolf Hitler's psychiatrist. Take offensive operational use of LSD against the defined enemy, whether it's a judge or a city councilman or a writer. You study the enemy and then you give them LSD. Find drugs for the proper brain technique to speed up the treatment of psychiatric patients and eliminate all bad feelings and attitude by way of chemicals so that they're not fearful of them. Compare the effect of LSD and alcohol. Combine, use them together. Identify the pleasure and pain areas of the brain to induce pain. Find the maximum levels of physical and emotional stress in human beings. Discover the biochemical mechanism that causes delirium. Find the way to render an individual helpless or an animal helpless and immobile. This is useful when if there's a watchdog next door or a dog in the house. And Jolly West was good at this. I think he even shot elephants. And recently there was a bear that needed treatment, and you find ways to make them immobile. And then you render them. This is the way you could get that general in Houston, Texas, to be hung up with his hands behind his back. They say that he committed suicide. He didn't commit suicide. Nobody who ever remembers these documents from 1977 that I've heard on a talk show, or I don't listen to many of them, or read, has even suggested that all you do is shoot a substance to him to make him not move, and then you hang him up and you can pin a note on that said, Carlos was here. It doesn't matter what you put. He didn't write it, and you hang that up there. They wanted a way to turn alcoholics into drug addicts. They wanted to find a K-drug to kill advanced cancer patients. That's like Jack Ruby, Martha Mitchell, Clay Shaw, Hubert Humphrey. Advanced how you do the cancer patients in. Drugs to silence your agents as well as amnesia to cause reversal chemical lobotomies where you surgically don't have to go into the eye. They have a needle that goes into the eye, but to say that, you do it chemically. How to disturb the memory. One of their projects going back to the 50s, the CIA, was how to alternate sex patterns, how to create gays and lesbians and turn the men into women and the women into men. And I recently read an article in London Times, I'll bring in, about a chemical the United States government has been giving to children in Puerto Rico, and they're developed. The boys have breasts, and the girls are at puberty by the time they're 5 or 6 years old, and the woman who was there administering the drugs was threatened and almost killed on a road identical to Karen Silkwood when she was going to break the story. There's a picture of the young boys with breasts in the London Times, how to change their sexes. How to, as I say, disturb the memory, alternate the sex pattern, how to elicit information from others. This is a list of what the CIA spent. We're getting ready for the next program now. I'll just update them in 1 minute. $25 million for just these projects with chemicals that Alan Dulles of the CIA was working on with Richard Helms and the top people. These were reports that Frank Church got out in 1977 in the congressional hearings, just one set of reports. Of alternating, and you see how many things are happening. They want to create a natural toxic psychosis that makes people disoriented and into a coma, and as they how to speed along terminal ill cancer and hasten the death of elderly, how to identify a diagnosis of illness from voice patterns and so forth. I think you get the point that there is a strong case. These particular people that were around Larry from the time he decided to write about Larry McDonald and Western Goals, and the Los Angeles Police Department. And the reason I'm concerned for a number of reasons. Number one, I feel partly responsible because I helped with that first article, the one that's not allowed to be sold in Virginia that was taken off the stand. And the second thing, I recognize the symptoms. and I couldn't help him, and I tried to warn him. And third, I watched it progress until this pathetic thing in court that really sent the people that worked for him, Hustler, and the people around him into a very sad state of depression. And the only way out is that formula I get. Answer the people that are there, who was around him, and chart out exactly. And if that could be done, I think he would be okay. But if they don't do that, they'll never be able to solve this problem. He is caught exactly like a fly in a spider web. That's what the Odessa is. And these people work with Fritz Wendt and the Galen operation, and that's what he got into. Well, now our time is really up now. They've got about 4 seconds. So in that moment, 2 seconds, I'll say it's Mae Russell. I'll be back with you next week. 2 seconds.
How's it going, Mae?
How are you?
I'm doing fine.